In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Oh, that's right. It's time to talk some movies here. Alan Adams from The Main Edge is with us in studio for Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Those great new seats, renovated theaters. Ain't no better place to watch a movie. Alan went to see some movies this week. What else was on your weekend docket? Did you have some fun?
Well, the big thing was on Friday night, our improv group, the Focus Group, did our it was our fifth annual.
Wow.
Focus Group Goes to the Dogs, sort of a pre-pause on parade kickoff kind of situation that we did with as a fundraiser for the Bangor Humane Society. I don't remember the exact total as far as what we raised this past Friday, but it was enough to put us over the $3,000 mark in terms of total funds raised over the 5 years that we've been doing it.
That is fantastic.
Well, it's just
that for just going in and making up stuff.
Yeah, we just go and fart around for an hour, nice. And people pay to come see it, which will always strike me as a little odd. But you know, I mean, to each their own.
But we appreciate it.
We sure do.
And the dogs and the kitty cats appreciate it.
Yes, they do. But yeah, that was my big.
And pause on parade on Saturday.
Yep. And we went. The next morning to pause on parade. Stella is a big fan of the event. We have yet to get her to understand that it's pause on parade, not pause on a race. Like she likes to win. She wants to try to win pause on parade. Which you know, I admire her her gumption. Yeah. As it were, but yeah, it's such a great time. Like so many like wonderful people and all these, you know, out there, like anyone who loves dogs, like you're out there and you're just surrounded by all these people and all these dogs and all these, just, it's just a really joyful, sort of occasion. And, they didn't quite reach the goal they had set in terms of fundraising. But it was an incredibly ambitious goal. Because they had set the bar, they were aiming for $100,000 raised. They didn't quite get there, but it was if I remember correctly, it was the highest total ever raised by the event.
Wonderful.
So yeah, and so it was a really good time. And then yeah, from there I basically spent the rest of the weekend farting around the house.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I sat on the couch while my lovely wife went outside and scraped paint off the side of the house.
Well played.
Because that's how I roll. Sunday afternoons are prime writing time for me. And so while I was plugging away on the inside, my beautiful bride was plugging away on the outside. So
it's teamwork right there.
Yes, we'll go with that.
I like that a lot. Speaking of the focus group, we're back at it again this coming Friday night.
Yeah, it's crazy how it worked out, but because we've been it's been a year actually since we started working with the folks at the Bangor Arts Exchange, you know, doing shows there. We've been holding practices there and whatnot, and so Friday night from 5 to 7 is the kickoff party for Arttober, which is the month-long celebration of the arts here in the Bangor region. A number of local arts organizations will be doing performances during that party, including the focus group. We'll be doing a short set as part of that kickoff party. We will be performing in the 6 o'clock hour, 10-12 minute set. And then, you know, if you like what you see, if your appetite is whetted, then stick around or go downstairs, have a beer or two, then come back up, because at 8 o'clock we're going to do a full show right there. Woo. In the Bay Ballroom. Yes, it's the hunt for Bay Arttober. We are after it. We are going to do it and do it right, and it's going to be a good time. So if you're interested and you want to join us there, it's at the Bangor Arts Exchange. Show's going to start at 8 o'clock, maybe a couple minutes afterwards, just to give people a little bit of time. And then, it's just $5, and it's a good time.
Can't wait. That's all coming up on Friday night. All right, what'd you see for movies this week?
Well, I saw a couple. I got a chance to see the new Kevin Hart comedy, Night School. And I got to see the new animated feature, Smallfoot.
Mm.
Now, which would you like to hear about first, Rich?
Right, well, I haven't heard much about Smallfoot, so let's start with that.
Okay. First off, I think it's a movie that that you and young Master Kimball would enjoy together.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a it's from the Warner Brothers Animation. It's the second movie that they've released in tandem with Sony. The first was Storks back in 2016. And it's the sort of movie where you see the trailers and you're like, oh, I get this. This is the standard stuff. It's a Yeti growing up in an isolated Yeti village who's convinced that the legendary Smallfoot exists. Smallfoot being, a human person. And it's the story of, and you're like, oh, it'll be the story of this guy, you know, discovering humans and dealing with all of that. And it is that, but it's also an unexpectedly sophisticated allegory regarding the need for the questioning of authority and the importance of curiosity regarding the ideas behind how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of idea of tradition versus innovation and not being bound by beliefs simply because they're beliefs. Which, it's heady stuff for a cartoon.
Well, yeah.
And it's buried pretty deep, which is part of the fun of it. The basic gist is you have this Yeti named Migo, voiced by Channing Tatum. He lives in his village on the top of a mountain, surrounded by cloud cover. And so the way their society works is there's a person known as the Stonekeeper. The Stonekeeper played by hip-hop star Common. He has these stones that have pictures on them, and the Stonekeeper interprets the pictures as basically the sort of dogma of life in this Yeti village. And so it's basically like the stones say there's nothing beneath the clouds. It's just four mammoths holding up the mountain, and beneath that there's nothing. There's nothing down there. And so that's their basic worldview. They live in their village and, you know, toil away at their seemingly meaningless tasks and do their thing. Migo, for instance, is the son of the Gong Ringer. The Gong Ringer, who is voiced by Danny DeVito.
Love it.
Whose sole job is to get up and ring the gong to call forth the giant yellow snail to crawl across the sky and bring light to the mountain.
That's great.
And he rings the gong by climbing into a slingshot and being launched headfirst at the gong. So this is the kind of world we're talking
That's
about.
That's fantastic.
So Migo is embraces his world. He's very happy. He's very, very much into believing everything that he's told. Until one day, he inadvertently witnesses a plane crash and sees a Smallfoot.
Oh.
And goes back to the village and tells everyone, oh my gosh, I saw a Smallfoot. And the Stonekeeper's like, well, the stones say there's no such thing as a Smallfoot. So did you really see what you saw? And Migo says yes. And so he gets kicked out because, you know, that's how this works.
Sure.
Of course, there are others because there are always others. And he winds up meeting the SES, the Smallfoot Evidentiary Society, featuring a number of village weirdos, voiced by such notables as Gina Rodriguez and LeBron James.
Get out.
Yeah. And they're led by this Yeti named Michi, voiced by pop star Zendaya, who also happens to be the Stonekeeper's daughter.
Ooh.
It's all very complicated.
Oh, wow.
While all this is going on, down on the ground, which is, you know, it turns out not nothing, other stuff, there's a young man, a nature documentary television star named Percy Patterson, voiced by James Corden, who is desperately trying to raise his audience numbers. And he decides what he's going to do is basically fake a Yeti sighting. And that's his plan until he encounters, well, a real Yeti, through circumstances that I'm not going to spoil.
Right.
When Percy is brought back into the village with Migo and triumphantly, you know, bringing proof, turns out that this is going to shock you, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the evidence of your own eyes, facts, let's say, aren't enough to change people's minds.
I can't believe that.
Shocking, I know. And that's basically the deal. You know, Mego winds up being brought into a centuries old conspiracy that really has existential consequences, not just for him, but for his entire race.
That sounds good.
It's really good. And here's the thing. It's not necessarily a full on musical, but it does have there's probably half a dozen songs in it that are all quite catchy. The best is called Let It Lie. That's a hip hop number that Common does. That's actually like legit, like tight. Like that's a really good song. But there are a couple other ones that are really solid. Leaving aside the message stuff, which is under the surface, but it's definitely there. The first like third of the movie has a real whiff of the Warner Brothers anarchy, like the gleeful disregard for the laws of physics.
Is it traditional style animation?
No, it's 3D like computer animation. But there are a few moments that are that feel like they're lifted wholesale from old Looney Tunes cartoons.
I like that.
You know, and it's like, and you know, mostly involving characters being just grievously hurt in ways that don't make any sense as far as you know, the way the world works is concerned. But everybody's okay because that's how it works.
Because you go like this.
Yep, and then you're done. Yeah. But yeah, and the voice talent is great. You know, Channing Tatum is surprisingly engaging. He's got a decent singing voice too, which you might not expect. But yeah, it's super fun. Like kids are gonna love it. Like it's got a lot of the sort of fun underlying stuff that you love to see from animated movies. But the sophistication of the message is what I keep coming back to, and it's just like, wow, that is a well-constructed way to deliver that particularly important message to a young audience. And so, yes, I think when the time comes, I think you and young Mr. Kimball will probably sit down and have a pretty good time with this one.
That sounds fun indeed. Smallfoot. All right, now, I'm not... I like Kevin Hart's stand-up. I've never been a huge fan of his movies. Will this newest one do anything to change my mind?
Well, I don't know, Rich. If I were to tell you that Kevin Hart is playing a fast-talking hustler type who has inadvertently found himself in a situation beyond his control, leaving him to engage in ever-increasingly wacky schemes in order to fix said situation, would that shock you?
It's like deja vu.
he's doing what he always does. Yeah. Like, he's the same dude that he always is. In his movies, and that's fine, and people seem to like it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it was number one at the box office this weekend, but the shtick is kind of wearing a little bit thin for me. I think, and for maybe a lot of people, it's too bad because it's a movie with a decent concept and a pretty talented cast, but it's kind of hindered by I'm gonna say it's at least in part a too many cooks situation. Six credited screenwriters
dear.
This movie. That's always a bad sign when you see that many names underneath written by. But yeah, so he plays a guy named Teddy Walker. He is a high school dropout who has managed to work his way up the ladder at a high end barbecue joint, like barbecue equipment sales. So he's a wonderful salesman. And has really carved out a niche for himself. He's got a girlfriend who's you know, maybe a little bit out of his league, and so he's trying really hard to keep up appearances. So he's overspending to like lease a Porsche and, you know, ridiculous apartment and all this stuff, and really just living paycheck to paycheck, which is spelled out for us very explicitly during a conversation with his old high school buddy Marvin, played by Ben Schwartz, who's very good. But yeah, so through circumstances that I'm not gonna bother going into here, he winds up losing the job at the barbecue place, and is looking for something else. His friend Marvin, who happens to be a financial analyst, says, "Oh, I would hire you, but you don't have a high school diploma, because I'm pretty sure that's how, you know, hedge funds and financial analysts, that's how you get those jobs. Like, you walk in with a high school diploma and it's like, oh,
you're in.
Here's your desk.
Right.
Anyway, so Teddy's like, well, I guess I have to go back to school. So he goes back to his old high school to try to sort of sweet talk his way into a GED. Turns out the principal at the school is the same dude that he made fun of and kind of bullied a little bit back in high school. This guy Stewart, played by Taron Killam, who's very good.
I like him.
And then, so he tries to, you know, sort of weasel his way through it. Nope, you have to do the work. So he winds up going to class, a class taught by a woman named Carrie, played by Tiffany Haddish. She is the night school teacher, and it's a motley crew. You've got the big dumb meathead guy, that's Rob Riggle. You've got a guy whose entire worldview is built around Terminator-based conspiracy theories. That's Romney Malco. A couple of other sort of familiar faces mixed in, including the maximum security prisoner who's Skyping in, played by hip-hop star Fat Joe. Because, you know, why not?
Sure, okay.
Anyway, so Teddy tries to game the system in every way he can. Meanwhile, the teacher is like, nope, you have to do it the right way, or else I'm not going to let this happen. And back and forth, and so on and so forth. And that's it. I'm not gonna go any more, just because there isn't really any more. There's just a lot of I'm not even gonna call it low hanging fruit. It's like the fruit that's fallen off the tree and has been like sitting on the ground for a while and it's starting to get a little soft and a little gross.
Right, before the squirrel grabs it.
Yeah, that's the sort of are the sorts of jokes that we're getting. Like, there's like one decent joke for each credited screenwriter. We'll put it that way. Like, everybody got one, guess. And it's too bad, because I think there's a lot of room for some fun in the sort of back to school kind of thing. And it's a really talented cast. Like, Hart and Haddish have really great chemistry together. Like, their dynamic is really nice. You wish it was in a better movie. Mm. You know, and then you've got guys like Schwartz and Rob Riggle and like all these, like this really, I mean, legitimately talented people, and they're just sort of like, just, it's just lazy. It's a lazy, the writing is lazy, the direction is lazy. Like, everyone's working hard on screen. You can tell that they're trying to make, you know, they're trying to polish this turd, but it's just not going the way.
It's what Carrie does every day in here. Yes.
But yeah, so it's a Kevin Hart movie. Like, it's like
like that sort of thing.
Yeah. When you're like, there's a new Kevin Hart movie. I'm excited to see Kevin Hart do Kevin Hart stuff. Then you will enjoy this movie. If you're literally anyone else, I would say give it a pass.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge with movie reviews here. Pass the popcorn every Monday afternoon. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday.